Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We're glad to see everyone. Anyone who's new, just please, just speak to someone, one of our members, one of our pastors, if you would like more information or you need assistance. Now, there's these beautiful, beautiful flowers. And I went through the bulletin just trying to figure out where they came from. Well, it's the 18th of April, and they are for Lisa, whose birthday is today. Yay! So, oh, okay. Okay. Her birthday is on a Sunday. Beautiful. All right, now, don't get off track with all that excitement. A note for Trailblazer parents, you're going to be meeting on Thursdays right now because sports has started again. So just take a note, read the bulletin, make sure you've got all your details. Women's Ministry has a great promotion going on for Carolyn's Place, and I think we did this last year. So we're collecting, again, items to fill diaper bags for that ministry, which is out of Waterbury. So everything for the mama and things for the babies so we can fill the diaper bags. And they're due back the 25th of April. And if you don't want to go shopping, by all means, you can give cash to either Christy Barrett or Ann Ryan. So just make that note. Sometimes it's easier for them to shop. They know what they still need to put in the bags. Our 39ers is still going, but somebody's going to have to start babysitting. So our last session is going to be on April 26th, but we're in the Book of Psalms, so it's a great read. So if you're not in the Book of Psalms, by all means, start somewhere. The sessions have been great, and the lessons are wonderful. Banquet of Blessings, just keep in mind that we are trying to keep it stocked for those in need. I don't know if we have anything else. Anything else? Anybody else? All righty. Let us begin with our introit together. Please rise.
I want to see you. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
And this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Please pray with me. Glory, honor, and praise due to you, O Lord God, the Master, the Creator, the only one who was, is, and ever will be. You have called us your people, Lord, and you strive with us so long. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise that you even tolerate us. But you have a mission. You have made peoples to do the things you want done for your kingdom, Lord. Oh, do we praise your name. For you will see what you have already determined, completed for your kingdom. You have a plan. Our plans fail daily because we think too much on of ourselves. Oh, Lord, your wisdom, unsearchable, unknowable to us in some ways, but revealed when the Holy Spirit cues us to know what you are doing in our lives. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you so much for all that is around us, for us to see who you are. I do live kind of out of the city, and we have birds. They sing. They sing before the dawn. But then your sun hits the horizon, and they go silent because they know their master is again creating a new day. And they honor that moment when the sun comes up the horizon. Lord, we thank you. We take note of this. And then we hear the birds singing yet again, maybe even louder than they were before. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your creation. Every little piece of it points to your creativity and your determination to make a place for your people to grow and thrive and to do and to love and to be. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son, in whom we believe desperately, that he is our way, our truth, and our life. Oh, thank you. Join with me as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You'll find that on page 553 if you're following along in the Pew Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, where Nicodemus visits Jesus. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. And if I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
continue in prayer. And our Heavenly Father knows all the things that are heavy and the most, the biggest and burdens on our hearts and our lives. And so let's leave it with the Father now, okay? And for other things we will pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do come before you. I'm glad that we can approach you in our time of need. Our world is in great need, our nation, our government, all the struggles, Lord, the COVID challenges that continue, and the church's mission that you want us to be on, even in a very uncomfortable, challenging time. And it seems like there's these waves of shootings and death, and it just, you know, it weighs heavy. The news is always so negative and hard to listen to. But we do pray for justice. We pray for peace, Lord, that righteousness would reign on this earth. But we trust you, Lord. We're so thankful for your presence, and we know that nothing separates us from you. We thank you for the peace that you do give, for your word and for love, O Lord. We do pray for all who are grieving all throughout this country, the world, and they've lost loved ones or they've lost something precious to them. And so we pray for all who grieve. We pray for the Peel and Reifenhauser and Cream families with Claire's service yesterday. We pray for the Nelsons and the Daytons as they continue to grieve the loss of their loved one, Ed and Grace. And Lord, we lift up to you Christopher Carr. We're so glad that he is doing better. This young boy has been through much. Thank you for your healing touch. We pray for your protection around him, Lord, and protection around the family, that you would just pour out your grace and your love and your spirit upon them today. And we continue to pray for Bud, surgery and results, and for Robert Morton, for Millie Cunningham, and for all who are going to be having procedures or surgeries in the days ahead. Lord, we pray for Val Chaussee, her daughter Lindsay, who's in the midst of a very hard time, O Lord. We pray your mercy, your grace, your deliverance. We pray for her children, for Maria and Peyton, O Lord. Pray that you might just work out all the details and give them your peace. We're so thankful, just continuing to pray for and think about Adelaide Malloyd, who was adopted officially, and Nikki and Mario and Grandma Lucille, and we are so happy, Lord. Thank you for these young ones, for all the babies and the toddlers and the new babies to be born. For Courtney and Chris Ayer, for Emily and Jordan Gomes, for Christy and Mike Barrett. Maybe there are others, but you know all these little ones that will be born into this world, and you must have an amazing plan for their life, and we just look forward to that. Oh, Lord, there are many crying out to you. In the midst of a storm, in the midst of what seems to be a dark, dark time for them, it's hard for them to find any light, and they're in despair. Many that feel trapped in some way, many that feel alone, and so many that are so lost. Hear their cry, Lord. Extend your strong arm of love and rescue for that young husband and dad battling addiction, Lord. We pray deliverance and for a program and for anyone else who's facing struggles with addiction. Oh, Lord, the early church prayed that you would give them boldness. And we pray for boldness, Lord, to speak your word, to spread your love no matter what, to spread your mercy and forgiveness and grace. Give us boldness to sacrifice our lives like never before. Give us boldness to share our testimonies daily. Give us boldness to stand with you, to reflect your glory. Give us boldness to serve our community and to serve wherever we are, every sphere of influence through our company. And Lord, we pray you would draw people, even from our own church, young and old, into all the areas, even government and more in schools and business and entertainment, media. Raise up your people, Lord, for your kingdom can change the world in such a great way. And give us boldness to unite in love and purpose and peace. Oh, Lord, you are giving us boldness. Now we receive it, and we leave all of our concerns with you, even if it's only one here with such a heavy heart today. Oh, Lord, you know, you see, and you are touching their life. Take over and take charge. Oh, Jesus, you are our living hope. In your name we pray. Amen.
Imagine.
The world around us needs to know that Jesus is their living hope. We all need that. And one of the primary challenges today is to allow the Lord to open up our spiritual eyes, to see what he wants us to see. You know, especially where he's working and what's happening in our world, he wants to open up our spiritual eyes. Are we willing to receive that? Are we willing to venture into new frontiers? You know, this whole COVID thing, and once we're out of it, it's a whole new frontier. Or maybe we're in the frontier now in the midst of this. Everything's changing. You know, are we willing to be a bit uncomfortable? I mean, who's not uncomfortable right now, right? To encounter living God in all his glory, we will be transformed. It'll be like a renovation. Have you ever renovated a home or you're in the midst of renovating something? It's the same frame, but it becomes totally new. It's the same footprint, or it's the same, you know, walls, foundations, but everything inside is new. That's what the Lord wants to do. It's what God wants for us, what Christ's church needs, and what the world around us, they don't realize it yet, but that's exactly what they need. They're desperate, they're hungry, they're searching for something. And the answer is our life renovated spiritually, our eyes open, and on mission. And Nicodemus, you know, an interesting character. He meets Jesus early in John's gospel, and Jesus is giving him an opportunity to be renovated, if you will, to come to faith, obviously. He's a Pharisee, and he is the teacher of Israel. That's more literal, the teacher of Israel, a rabbi of some fame. He comes to Jesus by night, and John, night is darkness. It means evil, untruth, unbelief, everything in opposition to God and what God is doing in the day and the time and the era. But Nicodemus comes to inquire about Jesus. He has witnessed something. Was it the water into wine? Probably not. Was it the cleansing of the temple? Well, he certainly heard about that. Or was there something else that he witnessed? In The Chosen, season one, episode one, a lot of people know what The Chosen is. It's the first publicly funded film series. There'll be eight seasons. It's season two, episode three right now. That's how far they've gone. But it's fantastic. They take a little artistic license. Very good. It must be your birthday. Yes, they do a great job with Nicodemus. And one of the things that he may have witnessed, they connect it to Mary Magdalene. Her name is Lilith. As a little girl, she was tormented and always afraid, and her father gave her a scripture from Isaiah, and it was written down for her, and she would read it, she would hold it, she had it in a special place, and even as a grown woman in The Chosen, she reads it or she recites it. And here's what it is. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And she keeps, you know, well, you can imagine just wanting to believe that. If that's so real, Jesus, you know, Lord, where are you? You know, she was tormented by demons, you know, like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, at night it was awful. In the day, she was a little more calm, and suicidal tendencies, and just battling these demons. And so one night she's gone off, and she's just wailing in the house. You know, we all have our moments, but this was over the top. It was just crazy. And the neighbors, the Romans, they go and get Nicodemus, say, you've got to help. The synagogue's got to help. We need some prayer warriors coming in. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they came with a team. And, you know, praying and with their incense. And Lilith, in a very evil voice, says, you have no power over me. And Nicodemus, they flee. They're out of there. It's scary. And he says, you know, there's no way There's no hope for this poor woman. And even says this, only God himself can cast out the demons from her. And who do you think she met within a day or two? Jesus came to town, walked into the tavern where she was. She was eating in an incredible encounter with her at the counter. She wants nothing to do with him. She doesn't know that he's, you know, a man of God or, you know, maybe the Messiah, whatever. And but he knows everything about her. He knows all of her tendencies. He knows her past, her hurts, and her hopes, her dreams that she's been crying out. She's been praying that Isaiah scripture night and day as often as she can. I have called you by name. You are mine. And he walks outside. It's the end of the first episode. David and Antoinette just saw this last night, so ask them about it. Or a couple days ago, whenever you saw it. All right. But Jesus calls out to her. Because her name is Lilith, but he calls out to her, Mary! And that just, she just turns. And they have, you know, more interaction. Probably gives her a hug and touches her shoulder. And you could just tell something has changed. And then the episode's over. So you got to keep watching. It's so powerful. But long story short, we're trying to get back to John 3 here. Nicodemus encounters Lilith, you know, further on in the series and, you know, finds out it's a man named Jesus that did this. And he says, well, I've got to talk to him. I've got to meet him. Can you set up a meeting? You know, can you set up a meeting? And eventually it does happen that they have this sit-down that we read about in John 3. And Nicodemus has these questions. And each time Jesus gives a fuller explanation of seeing, of entering, you know, the prerequisites for entering the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is in spiritual darkness, but he has approached the one who is the true light. If you go back to John 1, the light that was coming into the world, the light of all humanity, you know, the Messiah. He was coming into the world. And so even in the darkness of night, Nicodemus doesn't realize yet that he is surrounded by light that will invade his soul at one time or another. So this morning we'll consider his questions, but it's summed up with this. How can this be? You know, think of Lilith who is transformed. He witnessed that. Think of others that are transformed. Think of the little girls in Guatemala that find Jesus and they're being delivered from trafficking and victimization, that they're finding healing, that they have a worth and that they are clean and that they are whole. What they're learning. Think of that. Picture others you know that have had an incredible transformation. How can this be? People from the outside are asking, how can this be? He's wondering, how can this be? But Jesus' explanation, and thank you for the children's moment that you did the whole sermon, honey. So, no, it's okay. But Jesus' explanation, yes, about being born again, but it's the finished work of the cross. Everything points to the cross. Spiritual transformation and its possibilities. Without the cross, there is no spiritual transformation. There is no possibility for anybody to change in the world, no matter what anybody tells you. It's Jesus Christ. It's the blood of the cross that cuts through everything and atones for our sin. So just keep that mind in the picture of the cross. All right. First question, more of a statement. Nicodemus says to Jesus, we know you have come from God, you know, speaking on behalf of other witnesses and himself. No one can do these miracles unless God is with him. But Jesus doesn't really talk about the authenticity of the signs. Yes, I'm from God. I'm actually God, Nicodemus. You know, he doesn't go into that. He goes deeper. For Jesus, it's always about one's relationship with God. You know, what is your relationship with God? You know, have you trusted Jesus? Is what he's getting at. Do you believe in him? So that's where the children's moment came in. Jesus, unless someone is born again, or born from above, or born of God, they cannot see or enter the kingdom. There's no connection to the kingdom without this being born again, born from above. Now, being born anew, Nicodemus could have connected that to proselytes to Judaism. You know, when they, Gentiles, when they learn the faith and study and they jump through all the hoops and they're baptized and a cleansing baptism, they're called newly born children. So he might have thought about that, but the language Jesus uses, it's baffling for Nicodemus. But Jesus is driving at something very comprehensive, a complete renewal of the whole person. And John Calvin said this some years ago. By the word born again, he means not the amendment of a part, but the renewal of the whole nature. Hence, there is nothing in us that is not defective. Wow. So Nicodemus has a second question, and Jesus will be building the fuller explanation of this life, this fullness that we can have. You know, his second question is either reflective. Can human nature really be changed? You know, can I really enter into my mother's womb again? Can it really be changed? Can we really start over? That's a wonderful, you know, can we start over? Do you know anybody who really hopes that? Maybe you're hoping that. Can I just start over? Or he's being cynical. And I should return to my mother's womb? I don't think so. But it reveals that Nicodemus is outside the kingdom. He does not understand these deeper spiritual truths, so Jesus must explain further, verses 5 through 8. Divine birth is birth of water and spirit. Yeah, you know, what's flesh is flesh, it's what's spirit is spirit. It could be about our natural birth, you know, when Lisa had that beautiful face when she was born. Winston Churchill, not even close, honey. Is it pointing to the baptism of repentance? You know, John the Baptist as well, maybe in part, we all need repentance. But what if we looked at water and spirit as a unified concept? Because the Old Testament prophets, they spoke about water and spirit. You know, a coming era when the transforming spirit would be poured out on all people. Isaiah 32, 15 through 20, or Joel 2, 28. You know, water being metaphorical for a spiritual awakening. Oh, Lord, bring the rain now. Bring the rain now. We would need umbrellas, you know, so to speak. So much rain, you know, the spirit pouring down. I want to read two other scriptures that connect with this. Isaiah 44, 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. Remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep them. The water and the spirit. Jesus is pointing to the dawning of a new age. And, you know, initially that's Pentecost, you know, within, you know, 50 days after his death and the outpouring of the Spirit. But what about in the dawning of the new age of our time? Like never before. Even greater things the church believers will do at that time when this greater outpouring happens. So John the Baptist inaugurated this. submission to his message, a baptism of repentance was expected. And then even John the Baptist said, well, I baptize you with water, but Jesus baptizes you with the Spirit. Another gospel says, and with fire. And John's gospel declared, you know, and Jesus declared, I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate, a helper, a comforter, to be with you, you know, when Jesus is not with them physically. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ. Nicodemus must understand that this era will be a time when the Spirit of God moves amongst humanity. See, he starts talking about the wind, like the wind blowing. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. And we've had so much wind in the last 3 months. I mean, howling, blowing. You know, I used to find comfort, but man, now it's just getting a little crazy. It's symbolic of the Spirit, folks. The Spirit is moving upon this land, symbolized by the wind. And pneuma, which can mean spirit or wind, you know, its origins and movements are unidentifiable. So it is with the Spirit. You know, the Spirit can move upon somebody. We may not know it at first, but it'll show up later. We'll see it in their life. But the religious systems of Jesus' day could not contain the Spirit, the vessels of purification, or the temple itself. Jesus came to replace them. So Nicodemus' final question, and it was stated earlier, verse 9, how can this be? With all his commitment to Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible, to obedience, to prayer, sacrifice, a divine election, yes, a chosen people. Privilege, yes, he's very privileged. It's all being shaken. He is being upended for now. He is standing on the edge of a new frontier. Will he enter in? Will he step out in faith? Will he follow Jesus? Will he believe? Jesus says to him, you are a teacher, the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? I think Jesus knew that, you know, eyes were blind at that point. Hearts were hardened. Jesus said, we speak that which we know, and we bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. The we are the disciples, the early church. It's us, all believers now. And the you are those who refuse to believe. If we are open and seeking and hungry for God, he will open our eyes to see him. You know, it's preaching to the choir here. We, all believers, we've entered the kingdom of God. But we want to see that reign of that kingdom. And it happens through, you know, coming together and allowing God to have access and that renovation. And yes, the daily being filled with the Spirit that Lisa was talking about with the kids. But God will open our eyes to see him. What would it be like for, you know, like with Isaiah, who was given a vision of a throne room? You know, God will pour out his Spirit in the last days that young and old will see visions and dream dreams and the heavens will be opened and even glimpse into the throne room. Maybe some of you have had that. But Isaiah was undone. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on a throne. And we sang that first song. It's connected to Isaiah 6. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. May the Lord reveal his glory in this place. May he reveal his glory in this place. Jesus then gives a prophetic picture to Nicodemus from the Old Testament, and it'll be right into the near future, related to Jesus, where he is headed, where he's willing to go. He's willing to sacrifice it all because his heavenly Father has the entirety of his being and spirit and soul, and he's going somewhere. So from the Old Testament, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember that story? You know, there was so much grumbling and complaining amongst the Israelites in the wilderness that snakes came out of everywhere and they were biting them. And God said, okay, Moses, make a serpent, put it up on a pole. I visualize a cross for some reason. And tell the people, you know, don't worry about the snakes. It's like, what? You want them to take their eyes off the snakes? Yes, look up at the serpent, which, you know, look to God. Look to God, allow him. And I think it's confess all your complaining and your bitterness too. And for those who looked up, they were healed. But as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And the first part of that being lifted up is the cross. And it's the finished work of the cross. He was exalted and ascended to heaven, and he's on the throne. He's the one who looks like a lamb that was slain in heaven. The cross. The completed work of Christ accomplished. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. So back to Nicodemus, after his meeting with Jesus. You know, in John, that's the beginning of 3 years of ministry. So what happened? Well, let's go to the end of the time, the end of the third 3 years. In the days, those days, did Nicodemus look on as Jesus was falsely accused and arrested and beaten and crucified? When he was lifted up on the cross, was his nighttime encounter with Jesus bearing fruit? Was there any renovation going on in his life? Because it certainly was shaking his very core for renewal. Did he fall on his knees before God? Did he see his sin in comparison to the glory of God, the one who was lifted up on the cross? Nicodemus only shows up two more times in the Gospels. You know, John 3, that amazing story, it's only two more times. Once is when Jesus is being arrested and tried. Nicodemus says, I think our bylaws say you can't condemn somebody or until you know they can speak for themselves, you know, something close to that. And they said, hey, what, are you a Galilean too? You know, on the Sanhedrin, all the Jewish ruling council. So he stuck his neck out a little bit for Jesus. So something was happening. And where's the last time? It was at the cross. 3 years earlier, according to John, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, Nicodemus. Could Jesus see into the future there? Sure he could. Could he see Nicodemus at the cross there and even watching? Yes, he could see that. But we're not sure all that happened, but Nicodemus was there. Jesus had just died. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they take his body down. This is a public display, not a display. What a wonderful, loving, sacrificial thing to do in public. And they prepared his body. And they wrapped it and placed it in a tomb right there in a garden. Oh, my Lord. They had to get it done before Sabbath. In The Chosen, when Nicodemus saw Lilith, who would, you know, Mary Magdalene, some days after his failed exorcism, and they ran away, she was obviously a new creation. Something had changed in her life. You know, you can see some, you know that somebody was one way, or maybe we were one way, and then all of a sudden we're just totally different. You know, what happened? Well, I got a makeover. You know, what happened? Something happened. a Jesus makeover. But he was floored, and he basically asks, how, who, what happened? What happened? And Lilith testifies, I was one way, and now I'm completely different, and the thing that happened in the middle was him. It was Jesus. Simple terms, powerful transformation, speaking the truth, sharing her testimony. To believe that Nicodemus did believe in Jesus and believe that he's his Lord. You know, that Jesus did wreck his life in a good way. You know, I mean that, in a good way. Like Isaiah was wrecked. He was undone. And that was for good. But for Nicodemus, his belief system was upended. His spiritual eyes were open. We hope that happened. That full renovation, that new birth filled with the Spirit. When this happens in our life, it's as if we've seen Jesus high and lifted up on the cross and resurrected and exalted and seated in heaven, enthroned. He is the victorious one. He is our victory. He is everyone's victory out there. Have you had a divine encounter like this with Jesus? If you have, it's your responsibility to tell any and everybody that you meet every day. Did I ever tell you that how Jesus changed my life? Yes, you've told me 42 times. Well, I'm going to tell you a 43rd time until you believe. Hopefully each and every one of us are completely different because of Jesus, you know? You know, we have our moments, but without the Lord, where would we be? Only God can open our spiritual eyes. It's what God wants, for our eyes to be open. You know, obviously to be born again, but to continually have our eyes open to see the kingdom around us. Where is God working? Who is he inviting? God will show us. And let us pray and believe that the glory of the Lord will continue to be revealed in this place, leading to praise and worship and, yes, the crying out of holy, holy, holy. That's the best prayer, the best prayer you can offer, holy, 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 and worship. Only God can open spiritual eyes. It's what the world needs. It's what they're desperate for. Amen.
God, do. Lord Most High, we praise you. We lift you up. We lift you up in song. We lift you up in thanks. We lift you up in all that you do in our lives. We lift up our tithes and offerings before you this morning, thanking you and praising you. The power of Christ, Lord. The power of living water. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of fire. We thank you and praise you for all that you do in our lives, the many blessings you give us. It's in your name that we gather today, in your name we pray, in your name we give back to you, Father. Amen. Stand.
The Lord bless you as you go out with the boldness of God's love and spirit and peace. And now the Lord truly bless you indeed. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.